This is Kevin X copyrighted content written for small business owners who are doing it all. Hey there, business owner. Thinking about selling your small business? It's a huge step, right? I mean, it's not just about the money. It's the culmination of all those years, sometimes decades, of pouring your heart and soul into something. It's your legacy, your employees, and honestly, your whole future. Whether you're dreaming of retirement, chasing a new adventure, or just ready to take a breather, getting ready for this transition takes some real thought and planning. This guide is designed to be your co-pilot through every twist and turn of the sale process. We're going to cover everything from that initial moment you decide to sell, right through those tricky negotiations and due diligence, all the way to what life looks like after the deal is done. We'll talk about how to figure out what your business is really worth, how to handle the emotional roller coaster of letting go, and how to team up with the right advisors to get the absolute best outcome. Plus, we'll dive into smart ways to reinvest your proceeds, how to support your amazing employees, and what your next exciting steps could be. Selling your business isn't just about handing over the reins, it's about grabbing new opportunities and building an even brighter future for yourself. With the right prep and a positive mindset, this whole journey can be totally transformative, both financially and personally. So, let's get this show on the road. All right, let's be honest. Selling your business is way more than just a transaction. It's the grand finale of all your hard work, that vision you had, and your sheer perseverance. Now, while this guide won't have every single answer, because let's face it, every business and every sale is unique, it's packed with practical, actionable insights that are really going to boost your chances of success. The content here is super straightforward, laser-focused, and easy to apply to your unique situation. My main goal, to help you achieve the best possible outcome. Whether that means hitting a huge financial win, feeling that deep personal satisfaction, or just having the peace of mind knowing your business is in truly good hands. I really hope you find the guidance in this audiobook valuable as you embark on this next big step. Just remember, preparation and making informed decisions can truly make all the difference. Introduction. For so many small business owners, selling a business is a once-in-a-lifetime event. It's not just some cold financial exchange, it's a deeply personal journey that reflects years of hard work, taking risks, and making sacrifices. Whether you're looking to retire, jump into a new venture, or simply turn the page to your next chapter, selling your business is a pivotal moment. This guide is here to help you navigate that often complex process of selling a small business. We'll offer insights into what to expect, exactly how to prepare, and how to make decisions that truly maximize your outcomes. Because selling a business isn't just about getting the best price, it's about making sure the legacy you've poured your heart into is honored, that your employees are taken care of, and that your own personal goals are actually fulfilled. So, let's get into how to prepare for this momentous step, manage all the tricky details of the sale process, and plan for what life looks like after the deal is done. 1. Before the sale. Before you even think about putting your business up for sale, the groundwork you lay right now can be the difference between a disappointing deal and a life-changing opportunity. This isn't just about crunching numbers, it's about really showcasing the incredible value you've built, getting yourself ready emotionally, and making sure your business is in the absolute best shape to attract the perfect buyer. Think of this phase like setting the stage for a big performance. Every single piece needs to be polished. Your financials have to sparkle, your legal house needs to be totally in order, and your business story should totally captivate potential buyers. But it's not just about getting the business ready, it's also about getting you ready. Are you truly prepared to let go of something you've poured your heart and soul into? Are you super clear about your goals for life after the sale? In this section, we're going to dive into the practical steps to assess your business's true value, get all your financial records organized, and pinpoint your ideal buyer. We'll also tackle the emotional hurdles of selling, helping you make sure your decision aligns with both your financial dreams and your personal readiness. And finally, we'll cover those crucial legal and tax considerations that can really maximize your proceeds and keep any nasty surprises to a minimum. By the end of this section, you'll have a rock-solid foundation to kick off the sale process with confidence, clarity, and real purpose. Let's dive in and make sure you're fully prepared for this pivotal journey. Key preparations. Getting your business ready for sale really starts with understanding its true value. A lot of small business owners make the mistake of either overestimating or underestimating what their business is actually worth. The valuation process should involve a deep dive into your financials, the current market conditions, and all those intangible assets that really contribute to your business's success. Things like your brand reputation and how loyal your customers are. Start by teaming up with a certified business appraiser. They're going to assess key elements like your revenue streams, profitability trends, and how much demand there is for businesses in your specific industry. For instance, a bakery that's really profitable in a bustling city is probably going to attract more buyers than a similar business out in a rural area, right? Once you've got a realistic valuation nailed down, shift your attention to getting your financial records super organized. Buyers will expect clear, well-documented financials that really paint a transparent picture of your business's health. This means having your profit and loss statements, balance sheets, tax returns, and accounts payable and receivable all in order. Go ahead and address any discrepancies or red flags beforehand to avoid any complications during the sale process. Finally, give some real thought to the kind of buyer you want to attract. Are you looking for a corporate buyer who can scale your operations big time? Or is it more about finding an individual who truly shares your passion for your industry? Identifying your ideal buyer will really shape how you go about marketing your business. FAQs for key preparations. How do I choose the right appraiser for my business? Look for professionals who are certified by recognized organizations like the American Society of Appraisers, for example. Always ask for references and pick someone who has experience in your specific industry. If you run a manufacturing business, for instance, an appraiser who knows industrial valuation inside and out will give you much more accurate insights. How can I estimate the value of my business myself before hiring an appraiser? You can start by calculating your EBITDA. That's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, and then do some research on industry-specific multiples. For example, if businesses in your sector typically sell for 5x EBITDA and yours earns $200,000 annually, your estimated value would be about $1 million. What financial records are essential for preparing my business for sale? Key records include tax returns for the last 3 years, profit and loss statements, balance sheets, and documentation of all your major assets and liabilities. A well-organized financial history really reassures buyers. What if my financial records aren't in great shape? Work with a CPA, a certified public accountant, to iron out any discrepancies and create clean, presentable financial reports. For example, if past records show inconsistent expense reporting, make sure to standardize those entries before you share any documents with potential buyers. How do I attract the right type of buyer for my business? Define your ideal buyer profile. If preserving your legacy is your top priority, for example, then target individuals or firms that really align with your vision. On the other hand, if maximizing profit is your main goal, then focus on private equity or corporate buyers. Should I reinvest in my business before selling? Only invest in areas that will give you a measurable return on investment, ROI, or truly make your business more appealing to buyers. For instance, upgrading your technology systems might increase value, but expanding your office space might not be worth the cost. What role does goodwill play in my business valuation? Goodwill includes all those intangible assets, like your brand reputation, customer loyalty, and your employees' expertise. A bakery with a super loyal customer base and a strong local reputation, for example, will command a higher price because of that built-in goodwill. How do I handle outstanding debts or liabilities? Address liabilities early to keep them from derailing the sale. If you owe on equipment leases, for instance, try to negotiate buyouts or transfer agreements with the buyer. Can I sell my business if I haven't been profitable recently? Yes, but be really transparent about why profitability has been low. Emphasize your growth potential instead. For example, a restaurant might have struggled during a pandemic but have strong post-recovery forecasts that you can highlight. What documents should I prepare for potential buyers? Put together a comprehensive packet that includes financial statements, customer contracts, vendor agreements, employee handbooks, and any intellectual property details. A polished presentation just makes your business more attractive. Emotional readiness. Selling a business is so much more than just a financial transaction. It's a huge emotional milestone. Many owners totally underestimate the emotional toll of letting go of something they've poured their heart and soul into. Before you even begin the sales process, ask yourself some really critical questions. Why am I selling? What do I really hope to achieve? Am I truly ready to give up control? One common emotional challenge is that feeling of loss. You might find yourself second-guessing your decision, especially if you've built strong relationships with employees, customers, or partners. To navigate these emotions, think about consulting with a mentor, a therapist, or even a coach who can offer objective support. It's also super important to talk about your plans with your family or loved ones. Their insights can bring a lot of clarity and help you set realistic expectations for what life will be like after the sale. Ultimately, the decision to sell should align with both your personal and professional goals. FAQs for emotional readiness. How can I prepare emotionally to sell my business? Reflect on your goals for selling and consider how this change aligns with your personal and professional aspirations. For example, if your goal is retirement, really focus on the freedom and opportunities it brings. What are common emotional challenges business owners face when selling? Owners often feel a sense of loss, a shift in identity, or a fear of the unknown. Talking to peers or mentors who have sold businesses can offer a lot of reassurance and clarity. Should I involve my family in the decision to sell? Yes, absolutely, especially if the sale impacts your family's financial future or lifestyle. For instance, if you plan to reinvest proceeds in a new venture, make sure your family understands and supports that decision. What if I feel guilty about selling my business? It's totally natural to feel guilty, especially if employees are affected. Focus on finding a buyer who will continue your legacy and treat your employees well. How do I know if I'm truly ready to sell? Ask yourself if you've achieved your business goals and if you're prepared to really give up control. If uncertainty lingers, consult with a coach or an advisor. How do I manage employee relationships during the sale process? Be transparent when it's appropriate, but try to avoid sharing premature details. For example, reassure employees that their roles are valued without overpromising anything. How do I avoid second-guessing my decision? Focus on the long-term benefits of selling, like financial security or new opportunities. Journaling your reasons and goals can really help clarify your thoughts. Can I stay involved in the business after selling? Many buyers are actually open to a transition period where the previous owner stays on as a consultant. Make sure to discuss this during negotiations. How do I emotionally detach from my business? View the sale as a new chapter, not an ending. Focus on the future and take time to celebrate all your amazing achievements. What if I regret selling my business? Regret can often be lessened by preparing thoroughly and having a really clear plan for life after the sale. For example, if you miss the entrepreneurial lifestyle, consider investing in or mentoring new businesses. Legal and tax considerations. The way you structure your sale has major legal and tax implications. For instance, selling your business as an asset sale versus a stock sale can really change the taxes you pay and the liabilities you pass on to the buyer. In an asset sale, you're selling individual components of the business, like equipment, inventory, or intellectual property, while you still legally own the entity. This often means higher taxes for you, the seller, but less risk for the buyer. A stock sale, on the other hand, transfers ownership of the entire business entity, which usually leads to a smoother transition. Make sure to bring in a tax attorney or accountant early in the process to look at all your options. They can help you minimize tax liabilities by structuring the deal in a way that maximizes your after-tax proceeds. For example, installment sales can spread tax obligations over several years, which reduces the immediate impact on your income. Additionally, make sure all your legal documents are totally in order, from operating agreements to customer contracts, because buyers will scrutinize these during due diligence. FAQs for legal and tax considerations. What's the difference between an asset sale and a stock sale? In an asset sale, specific assets and liabilities are sold while the legal entity stays with the seller. In a stock sale, the entire company, including all liabilities, is transferred to the buyer. How can I minimize taxes during the sale? Strategies like installment sales, using Section 1202 for small business stock exclusions, or setting up a charitable remainder trust can help reduce taxes. For example, donating shares to charity before the sale can provide tax benefits. Do I need a lawyer to sell my business? Yes, absolutely. A lawyer ensures the sales agreement protects your interests and complies with all local laws. They also negotiate crucial terms like indemnities and warranties. What tax forms will I need after selling my business? Forms like Form 4797 for reporting sales of business property and Schedule D for capital gains are often required. How do I prepare my contracts for the sale? Review all your contracts, including customer agreements, vendor contracts, and leases. Update or resolve any inconsistencies. What liabilities should I disclose to the buyer? Disclose all liabilities, including debts, any pending lawsuits, and regulatory issues. Transparency builds trust and helps prevent legal disputes later on. How can I protect myself from legal risks post-sale? Negotiate a solid indemnity clause in the sale agreement. For example, you can limit your liability for pre-existing issues once the sale is completed. What happens to my intellectual property during the sale? Make sure intellectual property transfers are clearly outlined in the sales agreement. This includes trademarks, patents, and copyrights. Should I hire a tax advisor in addition to an attorney? Yes. A tax advisor specializes in optimizing the deal for tax efficiency, ensuring you keep more of your proceeds. Can I sell a business with unresolved legal disputes? Yes, but it might lower your valuation. It's usually best to resolve disputes beforehand or disclose them clearly during negotiations to maintain buyer trust. Example: imagine Sarah, a small bakery owner who spent years building a loyal customer base with her grandmother's secret recipes. Before selling, she got creative. She put together a legacy recipe book that not only documented the recipes, but also told the heartwarming stories behind each one. This added so much intangible value to the business, really resonating with buyers who appreciated that personal touch, and ultimately it increased her sale price by a whopping 15%. Pretty cool, right? 2. During the sale, once you've found a prospective buyer, negotiations and due diligence become your absolute critical focus. The negotiation phase sets the entire foundation for your deal terms, while due diligence lets buyers thoroughly verify that everything you've said about the business is accurate. A Approach negotiations with super clear goals. Decide on your non-negotiables, like your minimum price and the deal structure, but also stay open to creative terms. For instance, a buyer might propose a lower upfront payment in exchange for a larger earnout, which is basically a future payment tied to how well the business performs later. Having a skilled broker or attorney at the table can really help you navigate these discussions while keeping your emotions in check. During due diligence, buyers are going to meticulously examine your business's financials, legal compliance, and operational processes. Be proactive by organizing all requested documents in advance. This means having your vendor agreements, intellectual property records, and customer contracts all ready to go. If any red flags pop up, like a dispute with a supplier, address them transparently. That builds trust and keeps the process moving forward. Negotiations and due diligence. Once you've found that promising buyer, negotiations and due diligence really take center stage. The negotiation phase lays the groundwork for all your deal terms, while due diligence is where buyers double-check everything you've said about the business. Go into negotiations with clear goals. Decide on your non-negotiables, like your absolute minimum price and the structure of the deal, but be open to some creative terms. For example, a buyer might suggest a lower upfront payment in exchange for a bigger earnout down the road, which is tied to the business's future performance. Having a savvy broker or attorney by your side can really help you navigate these conversations and keep your emotions in check. During due diligence, buyers are going to scrutinize your business's financials, legal standing, and how you operate, piece by painstaking piece. Be proactive. Get all those requested documents organized beforehand. This includes vendor agreements, intellectual property records, and all your customer contracts. If any issues come up, like a past dispute with a supplier, deal with them openly and honestly to maintain trust. FAQs for negotiations and due diligence. How do I set a realistic minimum price during negotiations? Base your minimum price on the valuation your appraiser gave you and then adjust it for your financial goals. For example, if your appraiser valued the business at $1.2 million and you need $1 million after taxes for retirement, set your minimum price at, say, $1.3 million to cover those taxes and fees. Should I accept earnouts as part of the deal? Earnouts can be beneficial if they're structured properly. For instance, you might agree to receive an additional $200,000 if the business hits certain revenue targets within 2 years. Work closely with your attorney to make sure the terms are actually enforceable. What should I do if a buyer identifies an issue during due diligence? Address the issue honestly and offer solutions. For example, if the buyer raises concerns about a pending lawsuit, explain the steps you're taking to resolve it and provide supporting documents. How do I stay emotionally detached during negotiations? Focus on the facts and bring in your advisors to advocate on your behalf. For example, let your broker handle the price negotiations while you concentrate on the business's operational performance. What legal documents are essential for due diligence? You'll need tax filings, employee contracts, vendor agreements, intellectual property registrations, and customer lists. Having these organized ahead of time really speeds up the whole process. Can a buyer back out during due diligence? Yes, they can, especially if they discover significant discrepancies or risks. For instance, if your financials show declining revenue trends that weren't disclosed earlier, the buyer might reconsider. Should I involve my employees during due diligence? Only involve employees on a need-to-know basis until the deal is much closer to completion. For example, your finance manager might need to help prepare records, but frontline staff don't need to know yet. How do I respond to lowball offers during negotiations? Counter with a detailed explanation of your valuation and why it's justified. For instance, provide data on industry multiples and recent comparable sales to support your asking price. What if the buyer requests changes to the deal structure? Evaluate the impact of the proposed changes carefully. For example, if the buyer requests seller financing, calculate whether the interest rate and timeline truly meet your financial goals. Should I negotiate directly with the buyer or through my broker? Always use your broker to handle direct negotiations. This helps maintain a professional tone and ensures emotions don't interfere with the process. Maintaining business performance. It's super tempting to shift all your focus to the sale process, but neglecting your business's performance during this time can actually jeopardize the entire deal. Buyers want to see a thriving business, not one that's going downhill. Keep your operations running smoothly, hit those revenue targets, and make sure customer satisfaction stays sky high. Delegate sale-related tasks to your advisors or your leadership team so you can really concentrate on the day-to-day operations. Also, try to avoid making drastic changes, like restructuring teams or suddenly changing pricing strategies, unless it's absolutely necessary. Stability really reassures buyers that the business is well-managed and resilient. FAQs for maintaining business performance. Why is maintaining performance during the sale important? Buyers assess your current performance to project future profits. For example, a steady sales trajectory shows reliability, while sudden declines could scare off potential buyers. Should I share operational issues with potential buyers? Yes, but frame them as opportunities for improvement. For instance, if you have high employee turnover, explain how better benefits could solve the problem. How do I delegate responsibilities during the sale process? Empower your senior team members to handle operations while you focus on the sale. For example, have your COO oversee daily workflows and report regularly. Can I launch new products or services during the sale? Avoid launching unless it's part of your long-term strategy. A rushed rollout could totally backfire. For example, if you're launching a new app, make sure it's thoroughly tested first. How do I reassure employees about the business's future? Be transparent when possible. For example, tell employees the sale will focus on growth and stability without promising details prematurely. What if business performance dips during the sale? Identify the cause and address it immediately. For instance, if sales slow due to seasonal trends, explain this context clearly to the buyer. Should I continue investing in marketing and advertising? Yes, consistent marketing shows your commitment to growth. For example, if your ad spend is $5,000 monthly, maintain this level unless it's no longer getting results. What financial metrics matter most to buyers? Key metrics include gross margin, net profit, customer acquisition cost, CAC, and lifetime value, LTV. For example, if your CAC is $50 and your LTV is $300, highlight that strong ratio to buyers. How do I balance sale preparations with operational priorities? Create a clear timeline and delegate sale tasks to your advisors. For example, let your broker handle buyer outreach while you manage day-to-day performance. Should I focus more on short-term wins or long-term strategy? Balance both. For instance, maintaining consistent revenue and planning for long-term stability will truly reassure buyers. Working with third parties. Think of your advisors, your brokers, attorneys, and financial experts as your trusted allies throughout this entire sale. Each one plays a critical role in making sure the process is smooth and successful. A good broker can help you find the right buyers and market your business effectively. An attorney ensures legal compliance and drafts airtight agreements. And a financial advisor helps you optimize the sale for tax efficiency and smart wealth management. Collaborate closely with your advisors, but always remember that the final decisions rest with you. Choose professionals with a proven track record in your industry and communicate your goals really, really clearly. FAQs for working with advisors. How do I choose the right broker? Look for brokers with industry-specific experience and strong references. For instance, if you own a tech company, find someone who specializes in SaaS or software sales. Should I hire a lawyer even for a small business sale? Yes, definitely. A lawyer ensures your legal interests are protected, even in seemingly straightforward deals. What should I look for in an attorney for a business sale? Seek an attorney experienced in mergers and acquisitions, M&A, or small business transactions. For example, if your business involves intellectual property, make sure they have expertise in IP agreements. How much should I expect to pay advisors? Fees vary. Brokers typically charge 8 to 12% of the sale price, while attorneys and financial advisors often bill hourly or charge flat fees. For instance, a broker helping to sell a $1 million business might earn $80,000 to $120,000. Can I sell my business without a broker? It's possible, but it's not recommended for most owners. Brokers provide access to qualified buyers and crucial negotiation expertise. For example, they can market your business far more effectively than you might on your own. What role does a financial advisor play in the sale? They help structure the deal to maximize your proceeds and minimize taxes. For example, they might recommend an installment sale to spread tax liabilities over several years. How do I avoid conflicts of interest with advisors? Hire independent advisors who work solely for you. For example, avoid brokers who also represent potential buyers, as this can create a bias. When should I hire advisors? Engage advisors early in the process, ideally 12 to 18 months before you even list your business. This gives them time to assess, prepare, and market your business effectively. What if I disagree with my advisor's recommendations? Remember, the final decision is yours. Discuss your concerns openly. For example, if a broker recommends pricing below your expectations, ask them to explain their reasoning with data. Can one advisor handle everything? Number. Each advisor brings unique expertise. For instance, your lawyer handles legal compliance, while your broker focuses on marketing and buyer negotiations. A well-rounded team ensures nothing is overlooked. Example, think about John, the owner of a local tech firm. He almost walked away from a buyer who offered a lower upfront payment, but during negotiations, the buyer proposed an earn-out clause tied to company growth. Fast forward 2 years, and John actually walked away with 40% more than the original offer, simply because he stayed open to creative deal structures. Smart move, John. 3. After the sale, The moment the deal closes and those papers are signed, a brand new chapter begins. But selling your business isn't the finish line. It's a pivot point, opening doors to possibilities you might not have even imagined. What you do after the sale is just as important as all the preparation and negotiations that came before it. Transitioning out of your business requires some finesse. You'll need to ensure a smooth handover to the new owner while also addressing the concerns of your employees, customers, and other important stakeholders. Managing these relationships with care will really preserve the legacy you've worked so incredibly hard to build. Then comes the financial windfall. For many, the sale proceeds represent the largest single payday of their lives. But navigating the complexities of taxes, investments, and financial planning requires thoughtful strategy to both protect and grow your wealth. The choices you make here will really set the foundation for your entire future. Transitioning out. The sale of your business doesn't end when the deal closes. Transitioning out is a truly critical phase, as it affects your employees, your customers, and of course, the new owner. A well-executed transition plan ensures the continued success of the business and helps preserve your legacy. Start by creating a super detailed transition roadmap. This plan should outline exactly how responsibilities will shift to the new owner, including introductions to key stakeholders like employees, customers, and suppliers. For instance, you might spend anywhere from 3 to 6 months working alongside the new owner who transfer knowledge and keep operations running smoothly. It's equally important to communicate transparently with your employees. Host a meeting to explain the changes, reassure them about their roles, and introduce the new leadership. Similarly, notify your key customers and suppliers about the ownership change, emphasizing stability and continuity. FAQs for transitioning out. How long should I stay involved after selling my business? It really depends on the terms of the deal. Many transitions last anywhere from 3 to 12 months. For instance, a complex manufacturing business might need a longer handover period than a small retail shop. Should I notify employees before or after the sale? Wait until the sale is finalized to avoid unnecessary anxiety. Once the deal closes, explain the changes in a group meeting and provide clear next steps. How do I introduce the new owner to employees? Arrange a meeting where the new owner shares their vision and commitment to the team. For example, host a town hall where they can answer questions and start to build trust. What if employees are unhappy about the sale? Acknowledge their concerns and highlight the benefits of the transition. For example, explain how new ownership might bring resources for growth or even better benefits. Should I stay in touch with customers after the sale? Briefly, yes, to reassure them about continuity. For instance, send a joint email with the new owner expressing gratitude and emphasizing consistent service. What happens if the new owner wants to make major changes? Advise them to implement changes gradually to avoid disrupting operations. For example, if they plan to rebrand, suggest maintaining core services during the transition. How do I document key processes for the new owner? Create a transition binder or a digital guide detailing operational workflows, supplier contacts, and financial procedures. This ensures a seamless knowledge transfer. Should I assist with rebranding efforts? Only if it was agreed upon in the contract. For example, if the buyer plans to rename the business, your involvement might include marketing introductions, but not the actual execution. What if the new owner struggles to run the business? Offer limited support within your agreed transition period. Beyond that, it's their responsibility. For instance, provide advice, but avoid direct involvement. How do I ensure my legacy is preserved? Choose a buyer aligned with your values and include legacy clauses in the sale agreement. For example, specify that employee benefits or community programs remain intact for a certain period. Managing financial proceeds. The money you get from selling your business is very likely the largest single payout of your entire career. Managing these funds wisely is absolutely essential for hitting your post-sale goals, whether that's retirement, starting a new venture, or reinvesting. Start by really understanding the tax implications of the sale. Talk to a financial advisor to explore strategies like tax-deferred accounts or charitable giving to reduce your immediate tax burden. For instance, contributing part of your proceeds to a donor-advised fund can give you tax advantages and support causes you care about. Next, develop a long-term financial plan. This might include diversifying your investments, buying annuities, or setting up a trust for your heirs. Try to avoid rushing into any major expenditures. Instead, take some time to really assess your new financial position and make sure it aligns with your goals. FAQs for managing financial proceeds. What are the tax implications of selling my business? Taxes depend on factors like the sale structure and your income bracket. For example, asset sales may trigger capital gains taxes, while stock sales might defer some liabilities. Should I pay off all debts with the proceeds? It depends. High interest debts should be prioritized, but low interest loans may not require immediate repayment. For instance, you might keep a mortgage if the rate is below market averages. How can I reduce taxes on my sale proceeds? Use strategies like installment sales, reinvesting in qualified small business stock, or making charitable contributions. For example, donating 10% of proceeds to a charity can lower your taxable income. Should I invest all my proceeds immediately? Number, start with a diversified, low-risk portfolio and adjust as your goals become clearer. For example, allocate funds across stocks, bonds, and real estate gradually. Can I reinvest in a new business? Yes, but do so thoughtfully. For instance, consider investing in a franchise or an industry you're already familiar with to mitigate risk. What role does a financial advisor play post-sale? They help structure your wealth to align with your goals. For example, they might recommend setting up a trust to protect your assets for future generations. How do I budget after receiving a large payout? Treat the proceeds as income spread over several years. For instance, allocate a portion to living expenses, savings, and investments annually. Should I consider philanthropy after the sale? If it aligns with your values, philanthropy can reduce taxes and support causes you care about. For example, creating a scholarship fund through a donor advised fund can provide a lasting legacy. How do I prepare for unexpected expenses after the sale? Keep an emergency fund equal to at least 6 to 12 months of living expenses. For example, if your monthly expenses are $5,000, set aside $60,000 to $100,000. Can I retire comfortably on my sale proceeds? It depends on your lifestyle and the amount of proceeds. For example, if you net $2 million and spend $80,000 annually, you could sustain retirement for 25 plus years with proper planning. Planning for the future. Selling your business isn't an ending. It's the beginning of a whole new chapter. Take some time to really reflect on your journey, celebrate all your amazing achievements, and truly envision what comes next. Whether you choose retirement, a new venture, or even philanthropic endeavors, this phase is a fantastic opportunity to realign your life with your deepest passions. Think about exploring mentorship or consulting roles to share your expertise. Alternatively, if you're still feeling entrepreneurial, investing in or starting a new business might just reignite that sense of purpose. Retirement can also give you the chance to travel, spend more time with family, or really focus on hobbies you've always loved. FAQs for planning for the future. How do I decide what to do after selling my business? Reflect on your interests, values, and goals. For example, if you really enjoyed mentoring employees, consider consulting or teaching. Should I start a new business right away? Take some time to assess your interests and financial readiness. For instance, wait 6 to 12 months to recharge and explore opportunities. How can I transition to retirement effectively? Develop a structured plan that balances relaxation with meaningful activities. For example, join community groups or volunteer in areas you're passionate about. Can I stay involved in my industry? Yes, through advisory roles or board memberships. For example, join the board of a trade association related to your field. How do I avoid post-sale regret? Focus on the long-term benefits and celebrate your accomplishments. For instance, host a gathering with friends and family to mark the milestone. What are the risks of reinvesting in another business? Risks include market volatility and overextending yourself. For example, diversify your investments to protect against losses. Should I work with a life coach post-sale? A coach can really help you navigate the transition and set new goals. For instance, they might guide you in balancing personal and professional aspirations. How do I measure success after selling? Define success by personal fulfillment, financial security, and impact. For example, mentoring young entrepreneurs could provide satisfaction far beyond financial returns. What if I miss being an entrepreneur? Consider starting a side venture or investing in a small business. For example, you could become a silent partner in a startup. How do I maintain relationships from my business life? Stay connected through industry events or casual meetups. For example, attend trade shows or host occasional networking lunches. Example, after selling her boutique clothing brand, Maria felt a bit lost and actually regretted the decision. Her mentor, being super wise, suggested she mentor young entrepreneurs as a way to stay connected to the industry she adored. Maria started coaching startups and eventually even invested in one, which totally rekindled her passion for business and turned her regret into renewed purpose. See, new beginnings. Conclusion: selling your small business isn't just the end of one chapter, it's truly the beginning of a brand new one. The decision to sell and the process itself is always filled with challenges and amazing opportunities. But with the right preparation, you can absolutely ensure a successful sale that honors the incredible legacy you've built while perfectly positioning yourself for future success. Throughout this journey, you've taken the time to assess your readiness, value your business accurately, and bring in the right advisors. You've navigated tricky negotiations and due diligence while brilliantly keeping your business running smoothly. Now, as you transition out and manage the proceeds, you have this incredible chance to reflect on all your achievements and explore exciting new possibilities, whether that's a fulfilling retirement, starting a fresh venture, or diving into passions you might have put on hold. Remember, selling your business is about so much more than just the financial transaction. It's about securing a future for your employees, maintaining those vital relationships with customers and stakeholders, and truly setting yourself up for personal and professional fulfillment. By following the steps outlined in this guide, you've not only maximized the value of your business, but also prepared yourself for whatever comes next. Take immense pride in what you've accomplished and get excited about the opportunities ahead. You've built something remarkable, and this sale is a testament to your vision, perseverance, and hard work. Whatever your next chapter may hold, approach it with the same determination and passion that brought you to this point. Just a quick reminder, this guide is meant to be for informational purposes only. It's not a substitute for working with expert advisors like accountants, financial advisors, and lawyers. Always consult with them. Congratulations on taking this significant step forward. Your journey is far from over. This is just the beginning of a new and exciting phase. Thanks for listening. If even one idea here helped you slow things down and see the business more clearly, it was worth it. You don't need more pressure. You need tools that cut through the noise and help you lead with confidence. That's what KevinX is built to deliver. Keep going. You're doing the hard part. You're showing up. This material is for licensees only and may not be shared, copied, or distributed without written permission.